everyone. Welcome to another episode of What's It Like, where we interview folks from all over the place about their own life experiences. And we have another interview for you today. And as always, my little disclaimer, this is one person's version of their story. Somebody else with a similar experience might have a very different story to tell, and that is okay. But today, I am happy to welcome our guest, Noah. Noah, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I like that disclaimer, because I know for a fact that there's only six other people who have this story.
Well, and if they ever want to come on and be like, no, this was entirely different for me, that's fine. So tell us in a sentence or two, what is the story? What's the experience you're sharing with us today?
I'm a stand-up comedian as part of Plus Two Comedy. We are a touring nerd-specific stand-up comedy group. And I ended up in this whirlwind of situations where I ended up on the dais roasting internet celebrity, the angry video game nerd, also known as James Rolfe.
Awesome. So this might be, you know, this might be the first time anybody in our audience or some people in our audience have heard of the angry video game nerd. Can you tell me a little bit more about who is this celebrity that you got involved with as part of this adventure?
Basically, he is one of like YouTube's first celebrities. He's been around for quite some time, and he basically reviewed video games very angrily. So he was a nerd about video games, was angry, that pretty much gave him his name. And he's been online for well over a decade. You can check out all of his stuff on YouTube at Cinemassacre, which is the name of the channel. And what ended up happening was I was doing stand-up pretty regularly at a yearly convention called Too Many Games. And one of the attendees of Too Many Games just kind of said it casually, like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a roast of the angry video game nerd? And he happened to be saying it to the person who runs the convention. And he was like, yeah, that does sound like a good idea. So a year later, we just put everything together. A lot of the usual guests of the expo got roped into being part of the dais, and we all got together to rip James limb from limb.
Now, did you know him personally before this, or only knew him from his work?
I didn't know him at all. That was one of the most terrifying things about this. I knew of the angry video game nerd. At the time, I wasn't really tuned into YouTube culture. I'm much more tuned in now. But YouTube was just not something that I spent a lot of time on. But it was one of those situations where all the people who were part of the dais, like Brentel Floss, Brent Vanderbrook, who was Captain S, Keith Apicary, they all know James, and they're all regulars at this convention, and they're kind of a higher tier guest than me, but they're not comedians. I was the only comedian that was regularly showing up at these cons, so they're like, they had to bring me in. I'm the Jeff Ross of this situation, where he's like, he doesn't know him, but he knows how to tell a joke, so let's bring him along. So if you want the roast, there's actually a moment where I say, I'm up here, you know, insulting you to your face, and this is the first time I've ever been in the same room as you. That is 100% true. Like, the first words I ever spoke to James Rolfe was an insult.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really interesting to me. You were really the only one from like a comedy background who was going for this. Had you done comedy roasts before, or was this your first of those?
I've done a few roasts before. I roasted a wrestler by the name of Rob Dimension. And there was a company that I worked for very sporadically called Roast'em, where they would send me just facts about a guest of honor, and then I would show up and roast them. And that was a very weird company, because the idea is we would do surprise roasts. So I'd show up, they think they were just at their birthday party, and then I'd show up and say mean things to them, and then I'd leave and they'd never see me again. And someone would give me $40. It was quite the career path I chose. I did it twice.
So you were already, you had not only roasting experience, but also roasting people you'd never met.
Yes. I think I've roasted someone I've known less than roasting strangers.
That is fascinating. Okay, so tell us, what is, and maybe these two kind of go hand in hand. I'd love to know what you did in preparation for this, but then along with that, what is the key to doing a good roast speech?
The key is, first, you attack yourself. Mm. Because basically, if you come from a place of, say, superiority, it makes you unlikable. So one of the first things I said was, I'm up here as part of a dais that is filled with a bunch of nobodies, and yet I'm still the least famous. So, like, immediately I kind of put that on myself of, like, you don't know who I am. I'm not famous. You don't care about me. So what I say doesn't have as much impact. And then I go for the throat. So I always recommend that you take a little shot at yourself first. This way, you know, you kind of even the playing field. Then it basically comes from just how to tell a good joke. A good joke is basically a process of setting an expectation and then pulling the rug out from someone. You know, that's what a pun is. That's what wordplay is. Basically, you trick the audience in thinking you're going to say one thing and then you say another. For a roast, that other thing is mean. So, you know, a lot of people confuse roasts with just, you know, going up there and saying, like, you're fat and you're ugly and you're a virgin. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you got to say that in a clever way. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So that would be the big advice that I would give. I love the science of comedy. Mm-hmm. So there's like lots of like little nuances. Here's like a tiny one for you. Which word is funnier, underwear or underpants?
Oh, I think underpants is a little funnier.
Yeah, and you know, I've asked this question to many people, and they all say underpants, but most people don't know why. It is actually funnier if a punchline has more stop plosives in it.
Oh, okay.
So underwear has just that D, underwear. Underpants has the D, the P, and the T. So when crafting your jokes, your punchline should be full of those letters.
Huh.
So that's another just like small little trick on how humor works.
That is fascinating. Okay, so you have kind of this general sense of how to craft a roast joke in general. How much, to be able to tailor it toward this person, how much research did you have to do about angry video game nerd's work or life? What did you have to do to make sure that was tailored specifically to him?
I watched literally every video he made. I just like would put it on and I would grab a notebook and I was just like, okay, what are the things that he does? What are the things that he says? Like, what are the nuances of this character? And I just watched over and over and over and over and over again. And then I did a lot of that, not as much, but for the other people on the dais. Mm. Because that's another like part of it that a lot of people who watch the roast didn't understand. We spend a lot of time attacking the other roasters. Mm-hmm. And that's because if we don't do that, we look like a gang. It's just employing one man repeatedly instead of keeping everybody kind of on the same playing field. So a lot of people complained about this roast. It's like, they're not talking about James. And the truth of the matter is, if we did, we would just look mean. So yeah. We have to spread the meanness around. But to go back to your question, I probably watched every single video game review he did up until when we filmed the roast and just tried to find little things that, you know, would stand out.
Okay. You know, that makes total sense. So talk to me. Yeah. You're doing this preparation. You're pulling things together. How much time did you have?
It's amazing. I had a lot of time and also no time at the same time, which I know is confusing, and I use the word time too many times, but basically I had a list of jokes that I wasn't like super happy with, but like I had enough. And then the other person that shows up, who plays my angry video game nerd translator halfway through my set, he's a member. He was a member of Plus Two Comedy. We thought he was going to have his own set, and they told us, like, I think like a week before, that due to time restraints, he wasn't going to have a chance to perform. And I was like, oh, that's such a bummer. And like, he told me he didn't care. And then like day of show, I could tell it was bothering him. And I was like, okay, how can I write Will into my set? So the first half of my set is jokes I worked on for like a really long time. The second half is just jokes I made up that day so I could include my friend as part of the set. So there's a lot of preparation followed by scrambling. So like, I want to say 2 hours before the actual roast, we were at Target buying him a costume.
Oh.
Just like, we can figure this out. And like the glasses he wears are sunglasses that we pop the lenses out of. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were just like throwing this stuff together. And I always love, when it comes to comedy, I love when my back's against the wall and it's like, just make this happen. Because I feel like the jokes are more true or they're thought out of necessity. So I feel more alive in those moments where it's like, this stuff is untested. Let's hope for the best. Because that's another issue with roasts. Is when I'm working on a stand-up comedy set, because I have a big showcase coming up, There's probably a long period of time, weeks, maybe months, of me going to open mics and just like crafting and fine-tuning those jokes. Mm-hmm. I can't go to an open mic and be like, hey, I'm going to insult this guy that you don't know and have no reference about. Let me know if these are funny. So like all the jokes that I'm telling are like without a net, hoping for the best. And like, I go back and there's still jokes that I regret telling, or, you know, I know I could have told better, but that's the fun of a comedy roast.
Yeah. So that I'm going to jump ahead, actually, one of my questions, because I'm curious in that context. So, you know, if you're doing stand-up, you get that you do reuse and rework and go out and try out the same jokes in different formats and different ways and work them into this. Have you gotten a chance to take any of the jokes that you did for this and rework them into other contexts and use them elsewhere? Or is it like, nope, these are there and this is only for this situation and they're gone forever now?
There are a few jokes that I say are evergreen, which means like they pretty much work for anybody. Mm-hmm. I says something like, Brendel Floss, you're not that interesting, but you have a hot girlfriend. I know you want to go home and rip her panties off because they're riding up your ass. You can kind of say that to anyone.
Yeah.
Not really a joke I would do these days, but it was a joke I said was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of these jokes, that's the other problem with roasts, is like you're being really mean and what is considered acceptable is slowly like being backtracked. So I look back on some of these jokes like, ugh, certainly would not say that today.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I haven't thought about roast jokes aging particularly poorly as understanding shifts. Okay. So yeah. So tell me about you talked about last minute prepping to get this other person into your set. How did it go overall the night of? Where were you in the lineup? How everybody else's go affect yours? Tell me about the night.
That's a big part of it is one, I didn't really know anyone, like not well, at least. Like there was a few people that like knew my name and we were acquaintances, but like I didn't have any friends up there with me. And the person I sat next to, Keith Apicary, like The reason I'm sitting next to him is nobody else wanted to, because he has this reputation of being a madman. And a lot of people say, like, we kind of thought you'd be kicked out by now. Like, that's not a joke. He has been banned from pretty much every other convention.
Dang.
For, like, doing backflips off of high things and taking his pants off, things like that.
Yeah.
But I can tell you now that Keith Apicary is one of the most brilliant comedy minds, brilliant performance minds I've ever met. I've actually wrestled Keith Apicary twice now in my life.
Okay.
So, yeah, made a lot of great connections here. But the only person I knew, like, really well was Justin Silverman, the host. And I remember he does some joke about being Captain M from Microsoft. And that joke spawned from a conversation we had had like 2 weeks ago that was in my set. And I was like, oh, I got to cross that one off now.
Yeah.
And then when Captain S performs, one of the first things he says is, I'm going to roast Justin without doing any fat jokes, which is like my opening line.
Oh, so like, no.
Oh, so now I got to like figure out. And like, luckily what I did was different enough, but there was a few jokes that, because I was later in the night, that were just getting like crossed off my list.
Like rewriting it in the moment and adjusting where you were going to go.
Yes. Like a few jokes, like, unfortunately get missed that I wanted to do. It's like, it's a real shame. I never make fun of Keith Apicary, and I had jokes about him. It's just like with the scattered and having to move things around. So my set made sense and didn't look like I was just doing someone else's joke. Like things got lost. And this is cheesy, but when I'm truly in the moment, I kind of call it flying, where it's just like I'm feeling everything and everything's going really well. And I totally mess up Mike Matei's name.
Oh no.
He's basically a producer of the Angry Video Game Nerd. And I had this set of jokes about how basically James is pointless and it's only being created by Mike Matei. But I call him Matt Matei, which is wrong. So I like lose the audience and like I make a quick like quip and then I point to him only to find out that that is not him.
Oh no.
And I was like, oh, that's really bad. Cause on top of that, I had some jokes about his appearance and I was like, oh, if that's not him, then some of this might not work out.
Oh,
so
shoot.
Like in the set, and they kept it, which I liked that they didn't edit this out. Uh-huh. I'm just like, all right, screw these jokes. I was on a good roll and now everything's ruined. So yeah, it's just one of those moments where it's like, I know I screwed up, I fell on my face, but like, I can't just sit down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here. But man, it's so much fun just getting up there and riffing and seeing what works.
Yeah. What was the joke that you would say that you were proudest of in that set?
That I'm proudest of? I really loved doing not fat jokes to Justin, where I'm saying things like, I'm not going to do fat jokes. Everywhere you go, you make a great impact. No, that'll go fat. Really like those that really got things started. The one that sticks out most in my mind is when I said to James, all you do is curse, which is crazy because you have pens in your pocket like you were gonna write jokes. And then he went, nah, I'll just swear. And that one sticks out in my mind because, one, it was calling on a very like small detail of the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
Because he's always got four pens in his pocket. So it's a joke that only works right here. Like I can never tell that joke again. And two, it was like, there was this shift in the room because like now I'm like attacking the product and like I felt James get like a little bit uncomfortable. And if you watch the roast, James interacts with me more than anyone else. Like, you see him give me the finger. Like, I kind of get him talking and stuff like that. And I remember that joke the most because I actually was afraid that I hurt his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But James is, first off, amazing. Like, he's one of the most hardworking guys in the YouTube sphere. He's created this empire around him. But he's also nothing like his character. Like, he's very, very shy. And, like, I talked to him afterwards, and it was just, like, very short conversation and, like, a little bit awkward. And, like, a year later, when I saw him at this convention again, I actually had to go up to him and was like, hey, do you hate me? I'm afraid you hate me. And he was like, I don't hate anybody, man. It's just, you know, I am. He just kind of shrugged. I was like, okay, cool. All right, cool. Awesome.
I was going to ask as well, like, whether, you know, you do this roast in the room full of mostly people you don't know alongside people you don't know. Have you gotten to interact with any of them since then? Have you, like, ended up building any relationships with them?
Yes. I'm part of an improv group along with Brent Vanderbrook. We're called These Guy Are Sick. We perform once a year at MAGFest. Super great guy. I hang out with Brentalfloss, at least I used to, all the time now. Like I said, I've wrestled Keith Apicary twice. I still see Newt and Justin all the time. Like, there was definitely a moment, like, after the roast where everyone, like, clicked and became friends, because before the roast, we were all petrified. Like, we're all in our heads just kind of, like, going over the jokes and trying to figure out, like, what we were going to do. And then once we were, like, through the tunnel, everyone was like, we're great. Hugs are all around.
Yeah. So every, you know, I work in theater. Every performance is a learning experience. Every time you're on stage, you're figuring out and you're working something. Did you learn anything specific from this? Anything you would have done differently going back? Anything you changed about anything you did going forward? What was something you took away from this?
One thing I took away, like, as this is going to sound like the worst advice, but, the benefit of not over-preparing. Like, a lot of my favorite moments are the moments where it was, like, back up against the wall, not the stuff that I had, like, written a month ago when I was watching his videos. And just, you know, trusting my own instincts that, like, even if things don't go well, like, I'll be able to recover, things like that. There's, like I said, there's a few jokes where I'm like, wouldn't tell that one again. So I would probably say that I learned a little bit more about contextualizing things. Like, this is funny now. Will it be later? Probably not. I do a joke about two girls, one cup that I mumble because I have no confidence in it.
Oh.
And I was just like, I could have just not done that joke. That would have just been fine. And I think the one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand about comedy, like, one of, like, the missing elements is how long 5 minutes is. Because I was given 5 minutes and I do 10. Everyone else was given 5 minutes and they all do about 15. Like, nobody knows what 5 minutes is.
Yeah.
So, like, that's something that's like, oh yeah, like, if you don't have that, like, comedy instinct in you, because when I start my set, I say something like, I'm already out of time. That's because everyone before me has already gone so over. So, like, I'm being told, like, hey, cut your stuff down if you can. I'm like, all right, I'll cut some stuff out.
Gosh. Yeah. So, okay. So as this podcast goes out, there might be some folks who are listening who may either have or be looking for an opportunity to do a roast of somebody, maybe a celebrity that they know, maybe somebody that they don't. What would be some advice that you would give them as they're preparing for this, if it's their first one and they don't know what to do?
If you're organizing one of the big things that I recommend is make sure your guest of honor says something at the end. Because, again, I love James, but he's very shy and he's not much of a roaster. And on top of that, like, he didn't know me. So, like, he didn't really have time to, like, scout me and write comebacks to me. So at the end of the roast, James gets up and just says, like, I'm the nerd. Thanks for coming. And the energy in the room afterwards was, oh, James is really upset.
Oh.
And I was like, no, it's just, that's who he is. It's cool, guys. I think we're all cool. Are we cool? So that, like, in terms of structuring the show, make sure that your roasty gets the fire back. I would always recommend do your jokes without profanity in them. And if they're still funny, then you can add the profanity back in. But if the profanity is the punchline, you probably should just take it out. That's why the F word is so, like, used in comedy, is like, it feels like a punchline because you have that gliding F, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It ends with those stop plosives. But I know in my comedy circle, a lot of new comics have something we like to call fucks, where they'll be talking and they'll say something like, so I went to the store the other day and the fucking guy at the counter was like, fucking, it's like, you don't need to fill that time with the F word.
Yeah, it's the filler. It's the filler word.
Yeah. So it's like, get those out immediately. Find out what the limits are. Because there were a few things that we were not supposed to bring up that get brought up. And it's like, it's fine to do these roast things, but if someone has, like, I'm really self-conscious about this, then don't bring it up. I wrote a roast joke for one of my roastums that I did, which was, this girl had a 3.5 in college. Do you know how much hard work it takes to maintain a 3.5 blood alcohol level? Turns out she was an alcoholic.
Oh, shoot.
Like, I was told that we had to start the show late because we were waiting for someone to arrive. It was her sponsor.
Oh, shoot.
So, like, it was one of those moments where I was on this great roll. I hit that joke. The oxygen in the room left.
Oh, gosh.
It was audible, like, and, like, I watched her look at her sponsor and then look back at me, like, with hatred. And then I was like, you're like awesome.
Something went wrong. Yeah.
Find out what those limits are. And a good rule in comedy is if you are 4 sentences deep and there's no laughs, you need to go back and rewrite. Like, a setup should be no longer than 2 sentences, and then you should be hitting a punchline. In rare occasions that it can be a bit longer, but, like, the lines, like, punch, set up, punchline, like, it should be like boxing. Like, if you're not throwing jabs, like, you're getting beaten up.
Yeah.
So, you might be setting up that real big haymaker, but if it takes you a minute to get to it, you got to pepper in some little jabs in there. Even if they're not the best jokes, you got to just keep those punches going. So when that big swing comes in, it hits.
Yeah. No, I think that is fantastic. That I love that that's extremely detailed, specific advice that I think that, you know, somebody could take and really go with. On the flip side, we might have people who have very little sense of will never be comedians, will never, may never even attend a roast, much less be presenting at it. Well, you talked a little bit about things people misunderstand about comedy. Is there anything that you think that somebody listening to this podcast should walk away with, even if they have no concept of, or no future experience of anything in this field? What is the one thing that you'd like them to that you'd like to correct or for them to walk away with?
We'll go deep. We'll go real deep. Because this is, like, my big philosophy on life. So get ready, folks. Strap in.
Let's do it.
I want you to take a moment right now and think about what could be the greatest thing you could do right now to make the world a better place? You don't have to say it out loud, but you know, just take a moment and think it clearly in your mind. Make it a thing you can actually do, though. If it's like, I'm going to give $10 billion to charity. You don't have $10 billion, I assume. Just think of something right now in your brain even if you want to just think, like, I could empty out my entire bank account or something like that. What is the greatest thing you could do right now at this moment to make the world a better place? Okay, you got that in your mind? Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Yes, I am. I made a noise, but apparently it was not loud enough. Yes, I've got one in mind.
Okay, now that you got that in your mind, I want you to imagine that you do that action 1 minute before the end of the world.
Okay.
How much of an impact did you really have? And again, you don't have to say it out loud, but to me personally, the greatest thing that I can do to make the world a better place is make someone laugh. Because everybody has something in them that makes them really want to change the world. But everyone sees the world differently. So if I can change your view of something to make you laugh, I've changed your world at least. And if we are 1 minute from extinction, I hope you spend that minute laughing. And I always say that, like, you know, being a comedian gives me the power to do that as much as possible. But you do not have to be a comedian to make someone happy, to make someone laugh. So while that is my centrist goal, is to make you laugh, I hope that in your day-to-day life, you take the time to give that feeling to someone else, because giving that feeling to someone else is one of my favorite things to do in this world.
I absolutely love that. I'm glad you went deep and philosophical on that one. I think that was fantastic.
You didn't think you'd be hearing stuff like that in What It's Like to Roast Internet Celebrities.
Didn't know we were going to get real thoughtful about it, but I love it. Okay, so as we've been talking about this whole thing, is there anything that you wanted to share about the experience or make sure you talked about that we didn't get to in our conversation?
It was terrifying. I don't know if I mentioned the fear as much. It was an amazing experience, and it's as scary as it was, man, do I wish we could do another one. And in case your listeners went and watched or go and watch afterwards.
Yeah.
Let me just say, because for some reason, this is the biggest question I get about it. My opening joke is we are here to roast the angry video game nerd because Ego Raptor said no. That's a joke and not true. I don't, like, so many people have come up to me going,
is that
why
real?
Did Ego Raptor say no? I was like, he didn't. It's a bit.
That is funny. All right, well, good to have that cleared up, everybody. This is now, you all know as you watch this, you don't need to contact Noah and ask him about that. Awesome. Before we close things out, is there anything that you'd like to plug for yourself, social media or projects or your website? Where can people find you if they want to see more of your work?
Sure. You can check me out on Twitter. I'm at +2comedy. You can also check out my personal Twitter. That's at TV's Noah. You can also check out my podcast, The Stay Doomed Show, or just Stay Doomed, where me and my co-host Laura Prince watch shows that ran one season or less and explain if they could be resurrected, should be resurrected, or if they should just stay doomed. I believe when this will go up, our most recent episode will be about the Muppets.
Oh.
You can check that out. And also check out my Twitch channel. That's twitch.tv/+2comedy. I stream a bunch of different weird video games on that. And starting September 15th, I'm doing a game show called Conquest, which I used to run at conventions, but now there are no conventions. So we're running them weekly on Twitch. It's going to be every Tuesday at 8 p.m. And it will feature Brental Floss, who you might have also seen in the Roast of the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah, awesome. I will make sure and put all those links in the show description so that people can find you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Noah. This was a really fun and interesting one to talk to you about.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, everybody. I will be back next week, and you can come back and hear me talk to somebody else about a completely different subject. And we will see you then. Thank you all.